always where good triumphs over evil, because inside us is a conscience God has placed. It's just like long ago, long, long ago. It sounds like history, though it's not so old. When music was first composed and when songs were first composed, they were meant to express the higher things of life, the higher thoughts, higher aspirations of men. But through time, as more and more society begins to progress, and as the conscience begins to gradate to the sense of good and evil, today you have songs that rock songs that advocate evil, advocate violence. Can you see how far the conscience has become? But it's not like that in the original beginning. They used to sing songs about the beauty of the scenery, huh? Like what was that? Oh, that country road boy, yeah. And they used to sing songs about the purity of love, but we've gone a long way, and because the conscience has become dead, which is what Paul predicts, men's heart go cold. Which is why there is a place in society for religion. There is a place in society for Christianity. There's a place in society for us, and we Christians need to know our role. We are to be like the salt of the earth. Salt preserves society from turning towards evil. Which is why education must be taught with morals. And we believe that knowledge needs to increase. And for example, in our church, we do a lot of counseling and marriage counseling. And many times, before we married a couple, we give them counseling. And we always found out this, that in schools, they are not really taught sex education. And then when they are about to be married, their parents are too shy to talk about it. Their doctors give them technical answers. And no answers unless questions are asked. And no questions are asked because they're too shy to ask. And then they got partial knowledge from their friends. So they are left with books. But the books sometimes contradict one another and different areas. So as a result, we're incorporating into part of the church counseling to counsel also on that area before a couple gets married. And it's important to realize that, for example, the introduction of sex education needs to be introduced with morality. When it's not introduced, and if it's just introduced as a biological subject, it's terrible. Small little kids will start experimenting. Why they say, hey, are you male, female? Oh, I see. Let's do the biological test. Right? If knowledge is taught without morals, it becomes decadent, which is our role in order to teach morality and to teach the good things and to teach purity and to teach self-control and to teach restraint, to teach love, to teach peace, to teach the things of the Lord and the knowledge of God, which is why we are teaching through the Bible. So here, in chapter 2, God tells Habakkuk, God is saying, in the end, good wins. Now that's something satisfying. That's from Almighty God. God says, the just shall live by faith in God. Because there's a supreme God who will always see to it that good triumphs over evil. Temporarily, sometimes evil looks like it's triumphing over good, like chapter 1, verse 4. But remember when you experience chapter 1, verse 4 in your life. Maybe you are in business and you strive to be honest. But as you go into business as a Christian man with a Christian principle, man or woman with a Christian principle, there are others around you who want to cheat, who wants to lie, wants to be dishonest, and your principles do not allow you, and they're telling you, hey, business is business lah. You must do like us. And so you refuse to do it, and it looks like you're losing out. You're losing on that deal, you're losing on the other deal, because here comes all those crooked methods, and they're taking all this business away from you. And it looks like you're in the middle of chapter 1 verse 4. But remember, you are only in the climax. Remember the beginning, they had to introduce a good guy and a bad guy. But in the middle part, the good guy nearly lose, the bad guy nearly win. But press fast forward, and you come to the part where the good guy wins and the bad guy lose. And that's important for us to realize, so that we would have the faith to trust in right principles. I mean, why do we need to believe that there's God and we live by faith? Let me point to it this way. If society does not believe that good triumphs over evil, there will be no motivation to be good. I repeat, if we produce movies, or we produce books, or we produce philosophies that teach things such as evil triumphs over good, there will be no more motivation to be good. People will go into what I call a helpless situation and say, what's the point of being good? Let's eat, drink, and be merry. See, people, there will be no more motivation. And it looks fatalistic. It looks like the end. It looks like there's no reason to fight on. There's no reason to stand head and shoulders above the rest in purity. Which is important for us to always emphasize, that Habakkuk chapter 2 is clear throughout all ages and generations. Although sometimes the story may be longer than the 1.5 hour movie. Sometimes the story is over 30 years, 40 years. Sometimes the story and the climax part is over 100 years. But not for long. Which is why God says to Habakkuk chapter 2, in chapter 2 verse 2, God says, write the vision and make it plain in tablets, that he may run who reads it. Why that he may run? I mean, if you know that doing good is better, if you know that being honest is the best policy, and you could see the end result, it motivates you. It motivates you to be honest. It motivates you to do good. See, there are two ways that people are influenced. One is by deterrence. The other is by motivation. Deterrence is, if you do wrong, you get punished. So be good. It's part of the answer, and it's part of the system, and it's good. But the stronger one is motivation. If they know that doing good rewards, you can run. Whereas the other, you walk in fear of doing wrong. Afraid you do the wrong thing. But when you know that doing good is good, I mean, you want to walk in it. You're excited to walk in it. Deterrence never produces excitement. It produces anxiety. Motivation produces excitement. Energy. Which is why God says to Habakkuk, let him who reads about the just living by faith, let him run. And know that though the vision tarry, that is God's word for you again, says here in verse 3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak. Of course, in this book, it is talking about how even though the Chaldeans are going to destroy the Israelites, and though it looks like the Chaldeans are winning for the time being, the Israelites must hold on and know that the Chaldeans too will be punished for their own wickedness. But for us, That verse here in verse 3 means that even though you're in the climax part, the evil seems like it's triumphing over good, but the good is not dead yet, still there. You're in the climax part, and God says, hold on, the story is not yet over. In verse 3, He says, but at the end it will speak, it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will surely come. It will not tarry. In the fullness of time, it will come to pass. And that's when God declared judgment in verse 5, right up to verse 20, about the judgment on the wicked. When Habakkuk saw the entire picture, when Habakkuk had a fast forward to see all the end of all things, in chapter 3, Habakkuk gave glory to God. Habakkuk recognized that Almighty God is righteous and just. He only takes time to do some things, but He finally does it. He works it all out so that good triumphs over evil. Now let's have the eschatological application of this book. We realize that this book, Habakkuk, has an end-time message for us today. And as you look at this book here, in Habakkuk chapter 1, the eschatological application, in verse 5, God says He is raising, I will work a work in your days, which you will not believe, though it were told you. Verse 6, I am raising up the Chaldeans. God says He's raising up the Chaldeans, which is the Babylonian Empire, for a purpose, for a work, to be His instrument of judgment upon the wicked Israelites at that time. This pattern is used by God throughout the Old Testament, and it still continues today in modern history. See, in the Bible, when the Israelites went into the land of Canaan, they had to remove 7 nations greater than them. And the reason behind the removal of the 7 nations is because of wickedness of the 7 nations. God is very clear. In the book of Genesis, chapter 15, Abraham had a vision, and this is a part of what God spoke to him in that vision in verse 13 to 16. He said to Abraham, Genesis 15, verse 13 to 16, He said to Abraham, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterward they shall come out with great possessions. Now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. Look at verse 16. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. In other words, God has a tolerance level. And God used the Israelite nation that came out from Egypt to conquer the land of Canaan, because the land of Canaan was moving into such deep sin that if they were not conquered, God may have brought fire and brimstone upon them Himself, like Sodom and Gomorrah. So God used Israel as a nation against these other nations. And then we realize here in Habakkuk that now God used the Babylonian Empire to come against the Israelite nation is a pattern that still continue all the time. Now, when we look at that, it looks like, oh, this is terrible. But remember,